Yeah, there's room up here up front for the family with the baptism if you just want to make your way up here. Morning. It's good to see everybody here today. Welcome to all of you, and certainly a special welcome to many visitors here with Tyler and Jenna at Nora's baptism. It's an exciting day for all of the family and friends, so a special welcome to you. Just a couple, really one other announcement, I guess, that I'm going to mention this morning. The rest you read, please, as you have time. And that's in regard to the power show. First of all, thanks to everybody that helped with the high school youth, our food stand, and I'm sure on behalf of the power show, thank you to the community that all makes that happen. But in regard to our food stand, we do have things left, as is usually the case. There's Chislic left, which I should have asked beforehand, but they're usually in packs of 5 dozen. Okay, that's frozen. They're $40. What is there, about 10 packs left or so? Okay. There's also packages of the prime rib that was in the sandwiches. And those, how much are those a bag? Okay, it's a 2-pound bag, and that's $16 a bag for that. There's Gatorade left. There's Pop left. Is that it? Pop? Okay, so if you want any of that after church, then go to the kitchen there off the social hall and you can get some chislik for yourself to grill at a later time. As I said, please read the rest of the announcements as you have time. Let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you and worship you. Lord, we magnify your name because of your great love for us. As your word says, while we were still sinners, you died for us, Jesus. You came when we didn't know you, when we didn't care about you, you came. And as we've sang, how deep is your love for us, Heavenly Father, how vast beyond all measure, that you should give your only Son to make a wretch your treasure. And we are forever grateful for the cross. Jesus, we worship you in spirit and in truth as our Lord and our Savior and our God. And we ask, Father, as always, that you would fill this sanctuary with your presence. We're filled with joy to be here, to worship together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for moving among us in your glory, in your power, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing our opening hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Now let's sing out this song with all that we have, okay? Sit down. Okay, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here, and certainly again a special welcome to all the family and friends here with Travis and Jenna.
Tyler
and Jenna. Sorry. Thinking about Travis. Actually, I was thinking about, you know, you two need to have a baptism every Sunday. We sort of fill the front of the church. Okay. Just some things that I have. First of all, Laverne and Phoebe Wagner, which I don't think Laverne is here today, but yesterday was their 72nd wedding anniversary. So that's pretty amazing. If you see Laverne or Phoebe, or might send them a card, they're 72 years, and the only one longer is Eugene and Lorreen, and they're 73 years, so that's wonderful. Just some updates here with surgeries. Shirley Mettler had her hip replaced Friday. It all went well. She came home yesterday late afternoon. Jeff Nuss had his back surgery Thursday. That went well. He came home Friday evening and is doing very well also. So good to have Carl here after his knee replacement, getting around well. What prayers for the family of Eleanor Quast. She passed away this last week, Tuesday night, late. And Eleanor would be a sister of Milo Hauk and a sister-in-law of Florence, and of course, sister-in-law of Mary Lee, and sister of Alfred and Verlin Hauk and that family. So her visitation is this evening at Grace Lutheran Church from 5 to 7 p.m. The funeral is tomorrow morning at Grace Lutheran as well at 10:30. So just be remembering them in your prayers, please. Maitha Wright, I saw her come in. Today is Maitha's 89th birthday. So. Happy birthday to Maitha. It's Maitha and Florence here and Idella. I saw them come in somewhere. They live in the care center, but they're all three here today. So that's great to have them. One other thing I want to mention, and then I'll see if what you have. Just prayers for Louis Fierst. He did get to come back to Majestic Bluffs this last week, Tuesday. I think I told you that the tumor on his spine was cancerous. They removed it. However, they have put him on hospice care. He's not in the hospice facility at Majestic Bluffs. He's in a regular room there. But so be praying for him and Judy during this time. Otherwise, anything else? Joys or concerns? Jenna
and Tyler. Tammy celebrated their 39th wedding anniversary.
Okay. All right. First of all, Trace, this would be Travis and Jade's son, turns 8 on Tuesday. Terry and Tammy Miller had their 39th wedding anniversary on Friday. Happy anniversary to you guys. Okay, great. Kenny Bittner. Ramona Bittner has a birthday today involving a 5 and a 7, but I think it's the other way around. A 7 and a 5. She does amazing. Yes. Happy birthday, Ramona. Steve Pressler. Yay, wonderful. Steve Pressler was saying their son Matthew and his wife Jenna announced that Steve and Sherry are going to be grandparents. So congratulations to you guys. That's great. Okay, over here. Okay. All right, let's bow our heads, please, in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your goodness, for blessings of birthdays and anniversaries, and expectant mothers, Lord, here in our midst. I know there's a couple others here today, too, with little ones in the womb, and we just lift them up to you and thank you for the amazing way in which you knit those little ones together, as only you can do. We thank you for the newborns, Nora here, and Raylan, who's not here today, but another baptism coming up in 2 weeks, and we just rejoice with these families and the blessing of our children, our little ones. Father, we want to pray for the family of Eleanor Quast, her children, her siblings, and other family members at her home going. Lord, your word says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And we know that your word also says it's better by far to depart and be with Christ. But still, we ask for the comfort of your spirit to these families during this time as you watch over them. We thank you for successful surgeries with Shirley Mettler and Jeff Nuss and your healing touch and power mightily at work within their bodies as they continue to recover. Lord, we lift up Louie and Judy first, certainly. Louie, as he's struggling more and more, but Father, I know his faith is strong and their eyes are upon you, and I thank you for holding them in your everlasting arms during the days, the months, whatever it would be that he has left on this earth. That we know is up to you, Father. But we thank you for watching over them. For those with birthdays today, bless them. Laverne and Phoebe with their 72nd anniversary, we rejoice with them. Father, as always, we pray for our troops that serve our nation so faithfully here at home. They serve other nations around the world selflessly and faithfully. We thank you for guarding them and protecting them. Lord, as we lift our nation before you, we continue to ask for the outpouring of your spirit upon this land. We desperately need revival to turn the course of events in this nation. And we look to you and help your church across this nation to be strong, to stand strong in you and in the power of your might. Father, thank you for the weather situation as we approach harvest. What is even out there to be harvested, we just continue to lift that up to you. We ask for safety. We ask for wisdom to the farmers and all involved, the families and all that help with this process, Lord. We thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. As we prepare to receive our offering, I want to read first from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. It's just a very short verse, but it says so much. It says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, and that is Jesus. He is the gift that God gave to us, our Savior and our Lord. Then I want to read some words to a hymn. It's called Only in Thee. You might know it, you might not, but this is what Joanne is going to be playing for the offertory. So I wanted to read the words to you. It says, only in thee, O Savior mine, dwelleth my soul in peace divine. Peace that the world, though all combine, never can take from me. Pleasures of earth, so seemingly sweet, fail at the last my longings to meet. Only in thee my bliss is complete. Only, dear Lord, in thee. Let's receive our offering this morning. Thank you. lives here into this storehouse. Before your throne, we bring them with hearts filled with worship, because we know that it is in you that we live and move and have our being. That it is only in you, in Christ alone, that we find life, that we find salvation. In Christ alone, by faith alone, by grace alone. And to you alone, Lord God, be all of the glory. So we ask that you would receive these gifts and multiply them for the work of your kingdom, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Jesus, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tyler and Jenna, if you want to come, your family, and Travis and Jade as the sponsors. Okay, so of course we have Tyler and Jenna here, and Miles is 3 years old. What do you think, Miles? A lot of people out there, huh? And Nora Joanne, and Joanne is from Jenna's grandma, Joanne, who's here today, so that's exciting. And then Travis is, of course, Tyler's brother, and Jade, his wife, and they have Trace, as we said, who's going to be 8 this coming week, and their little one, Frankie, who will be 1 in November, right? She'll be 1. So thank you for being up here, too. I want to read first from Mark chapter 10, verse 13. It says this, "People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, 'Let the little children come unto me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.' And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them." So we're bringing Nora to the Lord today. And I have these 4 questions. You answered them at Miles' baptism. I'm going to ask them again to you today, and you, Travis and Jade, as the sponsors here. These are vows that you're taking before the Lord. First, do you desire to have your child baptized today? And do you understand that through this sacrament of baptism, that we are actually dedicating Nora unto the Lord? If so, answer, we do. Will you instruct and encourage this child to renounce the powers of evil? And will you teach her the word of God so that she may be led to profess Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior? If so, answer, we do. Third, do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciples, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, answer, we do. And fourth, do you promise, according to the grace given you, to grow with this child in the Christian faith, to help this child to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ by celebrating Christ's presence, by furthering Christ's mission in all the world, and by offering the nurture of the Christian church so that she may affirm her baptism? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Thank you. There'll be a congregational assent here, Caden, if you have that ready. The Bible instructs us to diligently teach God's word to our children. Do you who witness and celebrate this sacrament Promise your love and care to this precious child about to be dedicated to the Lord through baptism as she grows in her knowledge of Christ. We promise. Thank you. And then Nicole Schaefer has a pledge from the Christian Education Committee.
As a representative of the Christian Education Committee, we pledge to provide an environment within this local church where Nora can be taught the Word of God, where she can grow up spiritually, and where she can begin to develop a personal and intimate relationship with God as her Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. We would like to present Nora and her family with this baptism candle as a remembrance of this special day. We would also have a little children's first Bible to give to Nora in hopes that her love for God's word will begin at an early age.
Okay, thank you, Nicole. Okay. You can come over closer here. Just got to stretch. Nora Joanne Miller, as we are here today to dedicate you unto the Lord through this sacrament of water baptism, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. What was that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious gift to this family. Nora Joanne Miller, we lift her up to you in thanksgiving and praise. Lord, thank you for blessing Tyler and Jenna and Miles with a little sister. We just offer her back to you. We thank you, Father, for as beautiful as she is, that she continues to grow in you. Every little finger and toe and muscle and organ and tissue and cell in this body growing according to your will and your plan. We ask for your hand of protection upon her, that you give your angels charge over her to guard and keep her in all of her ways, Lord. We thank you for your presence within her and your peace upon her. We pray for this family, Lord, that you help Tyler and Jenna, Travis and Jade as godparents to bring her up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, to know you and to love you, Lord, with all of her heart. Bless their home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll bring her down. And we're going to sing to her, Yes, Jesus Loves You. Turn around here.
Yes.
your certificate here. There you go. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, you can be seated. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time now. Thank you.
Morning, boys and girls. How are you guys today? It's great to see everybody. You can just sit right down there. It's okay. Go ahead and have a seat. You can just sit right where you're at if you want. It's okay. All right. You're all right. Well, today, Pastor Mike is going to talk to us about salvation and about being saved. So I'm going to show you a little bit about that, okay? And then I'll ask you some questions as we go along. Well, what is sin? You know, the Bible tells us that we are all born with sin.
When we're naughty, right?
When we aren't listening to our parents and we're supposed to. Did you have one, Laura? Like when we be mean to our brothers and sisters, or when we don't obey our teachers or our parents, or when we sin. What? You have to go to timeout sometimes, right? You do. Do you have one? Disobey your parents. When you lie. When you get in trouble, right, right. Well, sin is when we're doing not what God has told us to do, right? And it says we all are born, we all have sin. So it kind of looks like this. See this? It's kind of icky looking, isn't it? This is kind of like what it looks like when we have our life of sin. And you know what it says in the Bible? That somebody has to pay for this sin. Somebody has to pay for it because we sinned and it separated us from God. And guess what? We do have somebody that has paid for our sins. And who is that? Jesus. This reminds us of Jesus, right? God sent Jesus to save us and wash away our sin. And then when he washes away our sin, look at this. He washes away and we are clean, right? And we can come into God's presence. And then when we come into God's presence, we start to grow. When we come to Sunday school and church and read our Bible, we start to grow and do the things that God wants us to do. And then guess what Jesus has promised? When our time on earth is over, where are we going to go? To heaven, where the streets are like gold and when there is no sin and no sadness and there's Jesus there. And that's what we look forward to, right? And that's where we want to go, right? Yes, when we ask Jesus to come into our life and be our Savior, this is what he does for us. Amen? And the way it says, keep on growing like you guys are doing and keep on doing what you're doing. Let's pray, okay? Father, we thank you so much for sending Jesus to be our Savior. And right now, boys and girls, I want you to say with me John 3:16, because we forgot to do that, all right? Most of us know that, or you learn it. Ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And we thank you, Father, for this. We thank you that even though we have sin in our lives, we're born with sin, that you sent Jesus to wash us, to die for us, and we accept him into our lives. Bless these boys and girls as they go and grow about in you and grow in the fruit of the Spirit, and that they're a blessing to those that they come in contact with at the daycare or at school or wherever they are. Help them to be a blessing and a light shining for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get your papers now.
Each
Thank you, Anne. She always has great ideas, doesn't she? Let's sing number 88 now. Number 88, More Precious Than Silver. We'll sing that through twice. Father, as we sing that, the words are true from our hearts to yours. You are more precious than silver, more costly than gold, more beautiful than diamonds. You are our all in all, and nothing we desire compares with you. And we love your word just the same, for your word is life to us. Your word guides and directs us. Your word corrects us. Your word shows us the way to eternal life in heaven with you. And so, Father, as we look into that this morning, I ask that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here, that as the Apostle Paul said, that my words would not be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but that they could be by the demonstration and the power of the Spirit of the living God. I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. We are in the book of Psalms, chapter 130. There's just 8 verses to this. We, for those visiting, just to bring you up to speed a little bit, this summer we have been working through what are called the Psalms of Ascent. Ascend means to go upward, right? And there are 15 Psalms of Ascent all together, starting from Psalm 120 to 134. And the people of Israel would sing these as they were going up to Jerusalem to the feast, whatever it might be. They would sing them in their homes. And there's a lesson learned in every single one of them. So we are on number 11 out of 15 here. We will get through this. So you're joining us in the middle of it, but this message is for today. Psalm 130 says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. For he himself will redeem Israel from all their sins." Amen. The psalm, the title I'm giving it, based off the first verse, is Out of the Depths. out of the depths of the deep, we would say. And in another translation, the first part of that verse says this, from the depths of despair, O Lord, I call for your help. From the depths of despair, I call for your help. So when you think about despair, that's another word we use for that is hopelessness, right? Someone might say, I have lost all hope. I'm in such despair. I don't see any way out of this situation that I am in. And we could think a lot about a lot of different life situations that we've been through, I'm sure, right here with all of us here, that caused great despair, that in the midst of it, maybe there were times that you felt literally that way. There is no way we're going to make it through this. But you did, didn't you? You did, or you wouldn't be here today. But as we think of that from the depths of despair, I guess where would be that deepest depth of despair that a person could find themselves in? You don't have to answer. You can think. I have two thoughts on it that we're going to look at here as we go through this. Where would the deepest depth of despair be for a person to find themselves? Number one, lost and without God. Lost and without God would, to me, be the deepest depth of despair, because if we're lost and without God, when we take our final breath on this earth, we're not going to heaven. The other alternative is hell. Some people say, oh, I don't believe that. Doesn't matter if you don't believe it. Somebody might say, oh, I don't believe in the law of gravity either. I'm going to jump off the roof of the church and see what happens. Well, whether you believe it or not, you're going down and you're going to make a splat. And same with heaven and hell. If a person, you say, I don't believe it, doesn't matter. It is. It is. A heaven to gain, a hell to shun. That would be the deepest depths of despair. And in the meditation part of the bulletin there, I chose that because Paul's writing to the people of the church of Ephesus, and he's telling, they were to the Gentile people. Gentiles are people that are not Jewish by birth. He's saying to them, which I imagine all of us here would be Gentile people. There could be someone of Jewish race in here today, but certainly, I don't know, most would be Gentile. He says to them, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. Listen to this phrase, you were without hope and without God in this world. And that is a terrible place to be. But now, the rest of the verse, but now in Christ Jesus, you, us, who once were far away from God, far away from Christ, have been brought near through the blood of Christ. And life is changed when we come to know Jesus. We think of many examples of people that were changed. I can think of some who were not, but some who were without God, Saul, who became to be the Apostle Paul. Saul, as he was first, was the most religious man you could ever find. But just being religious doesn't get us to heaven. He was as lost as you could find. Saul was going around putting Christians to death because he didn't understand that Jesus was the Messiah. Until Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, he was riding along on that horse, going to that village of Damascus to put more Christians to death, and God knocked him off his high horse, so to speak. It's probably where that phrase comes from, doesn't it? Knocked him flat, and he knew it was Jesus, and he was blind for a number of days. And then he went and served Christ and wrote much of the New Testament that we have, inspired by the Holy Spirit. We could think of, how about the Gadarene demoniac that was possessed with evil spirits in such a terrible way? He was tormented, the chains couldn't bind him. He lived among the tombs in the cemetery. When we, Ann and I, were over at Israel coming on 5 years ago, we saw where that place was, up on the hillside, on the cliff, when lost and without God, tormented. And Jesus delivered him, right? And all those evil spirits went into that herd of pigs, and off the cliff they went and drowned in the Sea of Galilee. What about coming up? That man was changed, and he went back to his city and told them all about Jesus. He got out of the depths of despair. What about coming up in the last 100 years-ish? Adolf Hitler, World War II, Nazi Germany. A man without God and without hope in this world. And obviously, I am not the judge, but from what we know, I don't think he repented of what he had done, killing millions of Jews just because they were born into that race of people. Terrible. What about coming up, and I've mentioned this before here on a couple Sundays this summer, but just this summer, this man, Jeffrey Epstein, lost and without God in this world, a multimillionaire, owned his own island in the Caribbean, plus a mansion in where, New York or Manhattan, plus many thousands of acre ranch in New Mexico, you'd think could have anything he ever wanted, yet was trafficking young women, lost and without hope in this world, and hung himself in his jail cell. That's despair. That's the pit of despair. So that's the lowest. Secondly, just real quick there, in letter B, if you're following in the outline, would be to be a prodigal son or daughter. That would be a place of great despair. Prodigal means that, as the parable goes in Luke 15, that it's someone who walked with the Lord, walked with the Father in their life, and went astray for whatever reason, as that son did. You know the parable. He wanted his inheritance early. The father gave it to him. He went and wasted it with wild living, spent it on prostitutes and every other evil he could find till he had nothing left, right? And he found himself working as a hired man, feeding the pigs, starving, eating the pig slop, which in that day had to be pretty bad. But it says he came to his senses and he said, you know what? Even the hired men in my father's house, the father represents God, our father, even they have it better than I do eating this pig slop. I'm going to go back to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against you and I'm sorry. Just let me be one of your hired servants. And you know how it ends. The father was always waiting. And when he saw his son coming, that says the father ran to meet him. Such a cool picture of God as our heavenly Father. He runs to meet with us and embrace us. So out from the depths of despair, oh Lord, I call for your help. Because with you, there is forgiveness. It goes on in the second verse there. It says, if you, oh Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? Who could stand? Nobody. You know, there was a couple years ago with the Menno Olivet Easter Cantata, we sang this song, Lord Have Mercy. Any of you that were in the cantata, remember it? Our own choir, we sang it last year here on Monday, Thursday evening. Just such a moving, moving piece. And it comes off of this Psalm 130. It's off these very words. If you would mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? The answer is nobody, because Romans says there is none righteous. No one, none who seeks God. No one who does good. And so, what does that leave us? Leaves us into despair. But it says, but with you, verse 2, with you, or 3 and 4, sorry, Caden, jumping around on you there. With you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. We are all born with what we call original sin. Even little Nora, as beautiful as she is, and she is. And when I'm sure, especially the mothers, the grandmothers, and when they usually the comments are, oh, she is so perfect. She is so perfect and beautiful, and she is perfect on the outside. On the inside, though, the problem is we are born with the original sin nature. And that's what this verse is getting at. Oh, if you, O Lord, kept a record of our sins, who could stand? Who could stand where? Who could stand before you and even be allowed into heaven? The answer is nobody. Not a one of us could stand. And that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When they sinned, God told them, He said, look, you can eat from any tree in this garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You cannot eat of that tree, because if you eat the fruit of that tree, you are going to die. Did they die the day they ate of the fruit? They didn't die physically. But what we don't get in our translation that was in the original Hebrew, he said, if you eat that fruit, dying, you are going to die. There's two deaths spoken of there. The first is, you eat that fruit, you're going to die spiritually, Adam and Eve. What does that mean? It means they're separated from God, separated from his presence that they had known. They had walked with him in the garden in the cool of the day. They were perfect. They were naked and they had no shame. They didn't think anything of it. There was no sin at all. Soon as they ate that fruit, they died spiritually. Oh, we gotta put some clothes on. They made clothes from fig leaves themselves, which wasn't good enough. God made clothes for them out of animal skins. Blood had to be shed, already pointing ahead to Jesus. Blood had to be shed to cover their sins. So from that moment on, every one of us, everyone on the planet, we are born in sin. And that is why Jesus had to come. That's why he had to be born of the Virgin Mary. Well, just because God thought, oh, I think I'm going to do something different here. Let's find a virgin, a woman, Mary, and have a miracle of conception here, which it was, and no man involved, and that it'll be talked about through the ages. Is that why? That's not why. No, it was because the sin nature is passed on through the seed of the man. That's how it's passed on. That's why she had to be born of a virgin. That's why Jesus had to be born of a virgin. If Joseph was his biological father, Jesus would have been born in sin just like we are. See, Nora is not going to have to be taught something like this. Now, Nora, once she gets toddling around, this is how you disobey your parents, okay? When you say no, and then you throw yourself on the floor and you have a fit and kick and scream. And Nora, this is how you don't share your toys with your brother Miles. You take that toy back and you say mine, and then you slap him over the head. Do you teach your kids that? No, we don't have to teach our kids that. That comes naturally, doesn't it? Because we are born with that sin nature. We spend all the years of the upbringing teaching them, no, that's not right, and you have to share, and you have to listen, and on it goes. And when we're adults, we still don't have it figured out half the time, do we? That's because of that sin nature there. It's sort of like this. I use the example of the chicken egg. That's pretty simple. Years gone by, when you were all had chickens on your farms and you wanted to know if the rooster had fertilized that egg or not, what did you do? You candled that egg, they called it. You put a light on it to see. And if there were blood veins starting coming down that egg, you knew it had been fertilized because there was blood there. If it wasn't, then you knew it hadn't been. The rooster was not involved. Works the same way with people, a man and a woman. And the sin nature is passed through the seed, through the blood of the seed of the man. That's how God established it. So therefore, Jesus had to be born of the Virgin Mary. Otherwise, it would be all for naught. We come to that next, so the third point, if you're filling in, Jesus, he's our Redeemer. Look at verse 7 and 8. He says here, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him, with the Lord, is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. And so he did. He came, didn't he? He came to redeem us from our sins. That's our salvation. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, who again was one of the most religious men you could find, but he didn't know Jesus as the Messiah. And Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. We could say, Nora, unless Nora, yes, the baptism is a very important step in her life, in the life of their family, but it is not her salvation. If she would grow up and never do anything more in her walk with the Lord, and even through her life, and then she stands before the Father in heaven, and he asks her, why should you be able to come in? And if all she could say is, I was baptized when I was almost 2 months old. What'd you do with the rest of your life, Nora? Huh? Did you learn about me? Nah. Did you go to church? Nah. Did you come to believe in me as your Lord and Savior? What? That, as important as this is, that's not our ticket to heaven. It's in Jesus Christ alone, in him alone. So he is our Redeemer. O Israel, he says, put your hope in the Lord God. I think as I read that, I thought about today. I think God is saying, America, put your hope in God. Return to my word. We had the men's event we had here last night, and this farmer rancher from over by the Platte Academy area, Brian Fite is his name. He does a lot of lay ministry. It was so good what he shared. One thing he said in their pastures, and there's some of them that are along the Missouri River, he said, you know, we have a creek that runs through our pasture, and normally, for all these years, it might be once every other year at best that that creek comes out of its banks and floods. He said, this year, it has flooded out of its banks 8 different times. 8 times. Well, we can all relate to that exactly, right, where we're at here too. Unheard of things. Things, flooding that have never happened. People that, even in town, a family that here that says, we've lived in our house 50 years and never had water in our basement until this year. And he made this statement. I thought it was so good. He said he sees this as a parable of what is happening today. And he said it like this. I wrote it down. Our country's culture is out of its banks. And it is raging downstream as a flood of destruction. And he said, to what God has shown him is this year of 2019 with the weather is like a parable of the situation of our nation. And of course, he was speaking to the men that were here, and he said, as men, and this applies to women too, we need to be men and women of God's word, to know his word and to stand upon his word, and swim upstream against the flood of the culture that is going so strongly out of its banks the other way, to the point where anything and everything goes that you could ever imagine. And some things, I mean, I learn new things, I think, almost monthly in regard to, how would I say it? The craziness of the sexual culture. I guess I'll say it like that. Things, words, I've never heard of. I'm like, what does that mean? Do I even want to know what that means? Most of the time, not. Oh, America, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love. With him is full redemption. See, they had waited 4,000 years from Genesis chapter 1 to the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. 4,000 years they waited. We are waiting. We have waited 2,000 years now for his second coming, the second coming of Christ. And he's coming back. The first coming, Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, in the exact time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those of us under the law. And so it will be at his second coming. And so back, oh, let me say this first real quick. I'll wrap up here in a second. When we think about his second coming, so Louis and Judy Fierst, a lot of you know them from the church, maybe not everybody, but a very dear couple. They're upper 80s. And I was there one afternoon with them this week. And Louis, his days, weeks, months, whatever it might be, they are numbered with this cancer that's spreading. And so we were visiting and just talking some about heaven and things like that. And Judy said, it was so neat, I didn't ask if I could say this. She listens to the tapes, though. Judy said to me, wouldn't it just be so wonderful if we could go together in the rapture of the church? That's an event we're waiting for, the rapture of the church. I said, that would be awesome, Judy. We don't know. That could happen any day. When Jesus comes in the clouds to take his church out of here, bam, in a moment. That's the first thing we're waiting for. That's a whole other sermon, but in a moment, it's going to happen. All of the believers on the planet are going to be gone that fast. And think of the chaos that will be left on the earth. That is not going to be a pleasant time. Last verse, 5 and 6 here. So he says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. You know the picture of that? You could see at the time the city walls, and they had guards that would stand guard all night for the safety of the city. And even in the army, many of you veterans here, some military police, some of you have probably done guard duty through the night. And that can get long. Maybe calving, you guys that calve, and the nights get long. And you wait for the morning. And so we wait upon the Lord. We wait for his second coming. We wait for his deliverance in our lives. We wait for answers to prayer. And he is faithful to do all of that. And he has answered by sending his son, Jesus Christ. So I pray that today, I don't know everybody here. I pray today that if there is somebody here in that depth of despair, sitting here listening, thinking, I don't know, Pastor Mike. I don't really know where I'm at with the Lord. I don't know if I believe all the stuff you're talking about today. Have I ever really asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior? Probably not. You need to. I can't make you, because it's your choice. It is your choice. Why would a loving God send anybody to hell? He doesn't. He doesn't. He made the way to heaven through his son Jesus. If someone ends up in hell, it's their choice to reject Christ. If we reject Christ, that's what we're choosing, the alternative. God has made a way out of that despair through his son, and it is beautiful. Let's pray. Father, thank you. I thank you for this day, and as we look through these psalms, and today we see, Father, of you speaking of Jesus as our Redeemer, and he is. And you have done that. I thank you for all that are here today. Lord, you know every one of us by name. You know every person's heart and mind. You know everything about us. And I thank you for working in each of our lives, drawing each of us closer to you every day in our walk with you. That when we draw our last breath, that heaven can be our home. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 493 is the closing hymn. It's Glory to His Name sings about the cross, down at the cross. Let's stand together as we sing this please. Beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you His peace. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Thanks, Joanne, for the beautiful music.